Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. As life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever. Be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Okay, welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Behold, I Am Coming Quickly. Today's message is based on Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 21. So let us open with prayer. So all who thirst, come to the water. Come all who are weary. Come all who yearn for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ has washed over us. Our gracious and holy God beckons and blesses us. Drink deeply of these living waters. Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you. Our Father, you are in heaven, high and lifted up, higher than our highest thoughts, and holy is your name. Besides you, there is no other. You are God and you alone. Receive us into your kingdom, the coming kingdom, the kingdom of your anointed Son, Jesus, whose name we bear. Receive us, for we come to you in his name. We pray in him and with him. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So open your Bibles, Revelation 22, starting in verse 12. And we will read, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book and of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So today we begin the final portion of this book, which was a rather long series for us, and I desperately tried to shorten it to only the most relevant parts to avoid endless words and speculation that add so much mystery to this book. Though many fear this book, it is very necessary for all believers to read and have a basic understanding of its meaning for us and the times to come. We begin with the phrase, I am coming quickly. This phrase is found 12 times in the New Testament, 6 of which occur in Revelation, and 2 in this final portion. This is a phrase spoken by Jesus multiple times, and we must take it seriously. We discussed last week it may mean suddenly instead of quickly. For many say it's been over 2,000 years. What we must grasp in that we are in God's time, not ours. That when God does pull the trigger, these things will occur and very quickly. If nothing else, we can use this as a sharp declaration, a final declaration, that we must be ready, prepared, for the time will be very short. There will be no opportunity for a second chance at eternal salvation. And we begin today with verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Everyone according to his work, for I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We can never miss the note of urgency and warning in all that Jesus tells us about his coming. His message is, always be ready, that we get from Matthew 24. Why would Jesus take such care to remind us so many times and in different ways that we must be prepared? This is truly important. Now, basic education practice is repetition or repeating those items that are most important. When I went through my confirmation class many, many, many years ago, the elderly associate pastor who taught the class had one mantra: read it, say it, remember it. That Jesus spent this amount of time on this should remove all doubt of what we have read in this book. And he says, my reward is with me. If Jesus will give to everyone according to his work, does this mean we are saved by our works? No. But it does show that living faith will have works with it that we get from James 2 and Titus 3. We are not saved by our works, but our desire in seeking Christ will inspire our works. If the writer of this passage would have used fruit instead of works, Would we all suddenly assault to grow branches and fruit? It's the quality of a man's life which provides the ultimate indication of what he really believes. In that judgment, yes, there is a judgment. We will be judged not on our opinions, not on our thoughts, not on our contribution to the offering plate, but on what is in our hearts and how we live in dedication to Jesus and his servants. The next, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. As an added incentive for us to do and be what is right, being ready for Jesus' return, he reminds us just who he is. If we really know and understood who Jesus is, we will not have any trouble being ready for his return. The term Alpha and Omega is applied to God in chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 21, 6, but here alone to Christ. Crowning proof in this book is Christ's deity. The title, the first and the last, is also irrefutable proof that Jesus is Yahweh the Lord. For from Isaiah 41, we have, I, the Lord, am the first, and I am the last. These terms together mean that Jesus is the beginning, middle, and end for the Christian. Spurgeon says, preach orthodoxy or any form of doxy. If you have left out Christ, there is no manna from heaven, no water from the rock, no refuge from the storm, no healing for the sick, no life for the dead. If you leave out Christ, you have left the sun out of the day and the moon out of the night. You have left the waters out of the sea and the foods out of the river. You have left the harvest out of the year, the soul out of the body. You have left joy out of heaven. Yea, you have robbed all of it, its all. There is no gospel worth thinking of, much less worth proclaiming in Jehovah's name, if Jesus be forgotten. The way this is used here is quite intentional, that we should read into this as the idea of completeness. This statement is to be an all-encompassing thought. This phrase speaks to eternity, the eternity of God, and not of any human thought. And finally, this speaks to authority, total and complete authority. There will be no transition from one to the other. And then going on to verses 14 and 15, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Doing Christ's commandments does not earn us eternal life, but it is evidence that we have been granted eternal life. Besides, there is an inherent blessing in doing his commandments because they are good and right for us. We live in a world where there always must be a payoff or we will do nothing. Several years ago, there was a movie titled Pay It Forward. It was not a Christian movie, but one with a solid moral message that is good for us and for the world if we do the right thing and not always concern ourselves with what I will get from it. We remember that as Christians, we are servants, not masters. We are to live in submission to God and not be telling God how to act for our benefit. And as servants, we are to project the image of Christ to the world. We can never do this by being selfish. Now, regarding the phrase, those who do his commandments, some translations have those which say, wash their robes instead. The difference between the two ancient Greek words, and I'm not even going to try to say these because they're extremely long words, but they are extremely similar. And there's a difference of four letters, with both having the same root. Each of these words actually consists of four smaller words. But in ancient Greek, such were all written in all capitals. There was no separation between the words. So was this simply a copyist error? This also points out a difference in how we speak from John's time to now. Many argue that wash their robes is the better translation, but if we are to actually wash our robes in the blood of Christ, are we not simply living in complete obedience to his commandments? William Barclay makes the analogy that we can provide soap and water through the teaching of the Word of God, but we cannot make someone use them. If we accept the gift Christ has given, how can we not live with his commands? And it continues, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers. So what about those outside? We shouldn't think that outside the walls of heaven multitudes will throng, longing to get in. The verse does not intend to teach that in the eternal state all manner of wicked men will be living just outside the heavenly city. It simply describes the future with the imagery of the present. Why does it say that all dogs will be outside? Is this in refutation to the idea of a heaven for pet dogs? No. What is meant here is not literal dogs, but the morally impure. Dogs in the Oriental cities are scavengers. They excite unspeakable contempt. We get that from Matthew 7 and Philippians 3. They were not the house pets, but roving pests of little use. To call someone a dog at this time was a grave insult. The Jews used it mostly against the Gentiles, but here it is used for believers, the unbelievers. Another thought is that in the ancient world, many, if not most, temples had priestesses. And that's nothing more than sacred prostitutes used to increase the funds for the temple. And as often mentioned, the priests were also used the same, but as male prostitutes for other men. These were commonly called dogs. As used here, this denotes a thoroughly immoral person. And going to verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches, for I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now, with these solemn words, Jesus authenticates the entire book. Much of the book of Revelation is either fantastic or seems too good to be true, but it's all true. Thus, the very God of all inspiration and of all inspired men reiterates and affirms the highest authority for all that is herein written. Either then this book is nothing but a base and blasphemous forgery, unworthy of the slightest respect of men, and especially unworthy of the place in the sacred canon, or it is one of the most directly inspired and authoritative writings ever given. The book of Revelation is written for the churches. This book is not a private affair, knowable only by an elite. It is for all believers. It's also worth noting that this is the first reference to the church since the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Do not think of this as only to those seven churches, but to the universal church of Jesus Christ that includes you and me. And Jesus says he's the root and offspring of David. This is a precious Masonic title from Isaiah 11. It shows that Jesus is both the creator of King David and of his descendant. Jesus spoke to this same idea in Matthew 22, 41 through 46. And then the reference to bright and morning star. There's another Masonic title from the Old Testament from Numbers 24, which says, here shall come a star out of Jacob. And in the New Testament from Revelation 2, just as the morning star, generally held to be the planet Venus, shines and welcomes the new day, so does Jesus. In ancient times of natural darkness and fear of the dark, we have the light of the world that vanquishes all of the world's darkness. Now going to verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Is this an invitation to Jesus asking him to return? Or is it an invitation of those with a spiritual thirst to come to Jesus? Either sense is certainly true. So come, who can come? Him who hears can come to Jesus, but they can't come unless they hear. Him who thirsts can come to Jesus, but they can't come unless they feel their thirst. Whoever desires can come, but they can't come unless God works in their hearts to desire him. So how do you know if God has worked in your heart? So go through a little checklist. Have you heard? Are you thirsty for God and eternal life? Do you want him? If so, then come. Now notice that this invitation comes from the Spirit and the Bride, with the Spirit being the Holy Spirit and the Bride being the church. Now in this case, I take the Spirit to be the very voice of Jesus. In the letters to the seven churches, each ends with an appeal to hear the Spirit. Have you heard this appeal in your personal life? If the Lord arrives today, will you be ready to go to him in eager expectation? And there follows whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This is an open invitation to receive salvation from Jesus. He will not exclude anyone who comes to Him. An invitation is both an opportunity and a responsibility. If we decline an invitation, we have only ourselves to blame. John Woolward of the middle 1900s tells us, a similar invitation is extended in Isaiah 55. The invitation to come is an urgent command, for the day will arrive when it is too late to come. Now is the day of grace. The hour of judgment is impending. This is an invitation so great that we can glory in it. Anyone who desires salvation in Jesus Christ can come to Him and take the water of life freely. Spurgeon commented, but mark thee, sinner, it says, whosoever. What a big word that is, whosoever. There is no standard height here. It is of any height and any size. Little sinners, big sinners, black sinners, fair sinners, sinners double-eyed, old sinners, aggravated sinners, sinners who have committed every crime in the whole catalog, whosoever. It is really this simple. If you desire Jesus and His salvation, then come. Can you say, now, Lord, I desire to be saved. Give me a new heart. I desire to give up my sins. I desire to be a Christian. I desire to believe and desire to obey. But I have no strength to do this. I have the desire, so give me the power. If this is your desire, then you are freely invited to come, if you are only willing. There's no barrier between you and Jesus except your own stubborn will. You can't bring anything to save or justify or commend yourself before God, but you can take the salvation He offers. And again from Spurgeon, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It is fitting that this great invitation closes the book of Revelation and the Bible. All the prophets of the Bible, all the apostles of the Bible, all the threatenings of the Bible, all the promises of the Bible gathered themselves up, focus themselves into this one burning ray. Come to Jesus. Come and take the water of life freely. There's an old hymn that gives this so much meaning, and I will read the first two verses. O Christ, in Thee my soul hath found, and found in Thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. And we go to the verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of the book. Those should not add or taken away. There's another section at the end of the book of Revelation where it's difficult to tell exactly who spoke. In most red letter editions, these words are in black, indicating that the translators believe these were not the words of Jesus. But there may be good reason to believe Jesus gave these warnings. The solemnness of this injunction suggests the speaker is Christ. And it says, if anyone adds or if anyone takes away. This means that there is a high price to pay for tampering with the book of Revelation specifically and the scriptures in general. What a solemn warning this is to critics who have tampered with this book and other portions of Scripture in arrogant self-confidence that they are equipped intellectually and spiritually to determine what is true and what is not true of the Word of God. And it goes, He who testifies, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. To the very end, the book of Revelation emphasizes readiness and watchfulness. If we miss this practical lesson from the book of Revelation, the lesson of readiness, then we miss the essential message of the book. If the statement, I am coming quickly, were not enough, Jesus then puts emphasis on both sides, surely before and amen after. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. With this phrase, John used an idea related to Aramaic expression that was well known in the ancient church, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. At the very close of the book is the confession that the answers to the problems of life do not lie in man's ability to create a better world, but in the return of the one whose sovereign power controls the course of human affairs. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The book and, of course, the Bible ends with a word of grace and grace for all. Paul also used this phrase as a final word in some of his letters in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:17, Paul even indicated that this his signature, no doubt written with his own hand, was a mark that the letter was genuinely from him. Now, one last comment from Spurgeon. Whatever you may miss, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And whatsoever points you or any of us may fail, may we never come short of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last verse of the Old Testament contains a curse. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse, from Malachi 4. Fittingly, the last words of the New Testament speak of grace, because grace describes God's dealings with man on the basis of the new covenant. And Barclay closes his commentary with, there is both pathos and glory in the way in which Revelation ends, with the speedy return of Jesus. Remember the promise of Jesus from Matthew 28, he will be with us even until the end of the age. It is surely symbolic, it is surely fitting, that the last thought of the Bible should be grace. We began this message with, behold, I am quickly coming, and we close with, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. With the chaos of the world today we suffer, it is surely worse than the time John wrote these words. I believe the world we live in today is as corrupt and ruled by Satan than any time in history. I cannot predict any future event, but I can relate to you what God has told us today from what is in this book. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I can only warn you to prepare, to not tarry and put off your commitment to Christ. For I cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Go now in peace in the knowledge of God's power. Go in confidence in the knowledge of God's strength. Go in joy in the knowledge of God's love. Go forth remembering who you are and whom you belong. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church, worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Reigns Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you miss a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Same hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell and his love, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.